Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Freemasons Podcast with your host, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
Worshipful Brother Joe.
Brother Alex.
Did you forget your fucking name down there?
He's nervous. It's his first time.
It's his first time. You're always nervous your first time. Yeah, I have to apologize. I have a little bit of a head cold or something going on. I'm getting over it, but it's all up in my schnot locker. So.
Oh, interesting.
I feel a little jammed up today. And if you're hearing the noise in the back room, they're doing a Master Mason rehearsal. So if you hear a lot of yelling, swearing, and that's typical.
Debauchery.
Well, it's debauchery. It's usually how a rehearsal goes. So, hey, what's going on? Josh Gray, Justin Michael. Today we're going to be doing an interesting one. And I found this, thought about it. And we're going to be going on to Quora, which is like a blogger website or whatever. And we're going to be, people are putting up their pros and cons of Freemasonry.
Oh,
so we're going to be making fun. All right, we're going to be dissecting their pros and cons of Freemasonry, and we're going to go from there. But first,
oh boy, likes. Do we have likes?
We have a couple.
Do we have jokes?
Apple reviews and stuff like that.
I got jokes.
I'm sure you do. All right, here we go. Ready? Where the hell did I leave off?
The last one.
Shut up. There's a ton here, actually. All right, here we go. Hands down, the realest podcast. 5-star review. It says, I've been listening to the podcast for a year or so. Even now, with them just being downright lazy lately, I still look forward to the next episode to drop. Ooh. Worshipful Brother George, although small in stature and not knowing words so well, is a wealth of Freemasonic knowledge. Fuck you laughing at. His passion for the craft and baking cookies in a tree is infectious. All right. I see what's happening here. Worship Brother Joe, being a soulless ginger, has a huge heart for his fellow man. Aww. And embodies what Freemasonry truly teaches.
Thank you.
Follow two rules. Worship Brother Ken, even though he turned a computer into an improvised explosive device and tried to kill the author, too. Oh, this is great. I would still say he's one of the coolest robots the government ever built. Oh, this is awesome. If you want to get some info and education on Freemasonry in a way that feels like you're sitting around the dinner table at Lodge, busting your brother's balls, as we do, this is the podcast for you. And join Patreon and Discord for only $3 a month. He's off $2, but whatever. You too can meet the nicest group of teddy bears on this earth. Gangrene will greet you with hugs and kisses as soon as you open the door.
That's true. That's very true.
And maybe you'll even get an ever elusive Freemasons podcast pin sometime in 2043.
Don't be worth money by then.
Holy shit. Oh, Worship Brother Adam Brooks. That was awesome. Oh, God. That was one of my favorites, I think. Holy shit. That was awesome. All right. Hilarious and informative. Sean Herman. As an EA, I was searching for more on the subject. I found this podcast and can't stop listening to it. Very informative, motivating, and most of all, hilarious. I see these guys as mentors growing. Younger Masons such as myself into better men and tradition of the craft. Keep up the good work and F. Alex Jones. Nice. Mm-mm. Well, we got an Alex with us. F him.
Definitely not a Jones.
F him.
But he's Jonesing.
Sky 08911691. 5-star review. Amazing. My mentor and the brother got my foot in the door showing me your podcast. I have listened to every episode as I have taken this great journey. With the knowledge I gained from the show and him, I now passed my fellow craft proficiency and have decided to petition the chapter of Widow's Sons and a few other paths. Thank you for the knowledge you give. Great show, informative and entertaining, Skyler. You're welcome, man. Craig C67, I love listening to the show. You guys give great information, and you are hilarious. I'm going for my EA on April 1st, and all of you have been assisting me with my journey so far. Thank you. Awesome. Five-star reviews read. That one by Worship Brother Adam. That was...
that was a good awesome. One. We've got some stuff going on in the live chat here with Josh McCray. Oh, what? You want to talk about your ginger ale?
We got a toast?
Oh, I don't have anything to toast with.
Drink the goat's ass.
Oh.
Drink the goat.
Not again, no.
We'll toast next time. But
all right, we'll toast next time.
Salute. Brothers, thank you. We'll toast you next time, I promise.
Cintani.
I got some ginger ale here. The ale of the gingers.
It's not the first time.
James Devaney, what's up, y'all? What's going on? Stop Blanchard, welcome back, and congratulations on your graduation. Yeah, for those who don't know, I graduated from a certain academy, and I started work on Thursday in the field.
Hopefully not Stone Academy. Inside joke for the Connecticut folks.
Not Stone Academy. Alex is Stoned Academy.
Oh, dear.
That'd be a great academy.
Anyway. So let's get into it, I guess, right? What do you think, brother?
Yeah, let's jump in.
Let's jump right in. Let's get right in. All right. Quora. This is on Quora, and I Googled pros and cons of Freemasonry. And we're just going to go through here, and we're going to read some people. I'm not going to say their names, but I am going to just read what they wrote, and then we'll go from there. So this is from one guy. We'll call him...
Guy one.
Guy number one.
We'll go with Robot White.
Okay.
You guys can figure it out.
That's Ken Tarwood. He's a robot and he's really white.
One of the worst things about being a Mason is that you have to go out once a month or so, dress nicely. You may be required to wear a tuxedo and enjoy the well-cooked, usual delicious meal, and then you are forced to hang out and talk with some very nice, kind, respectful... I see what he's doing.
Yeah, he's going a little tongue-in-cheek here. Yeah, I like that. I like
kind
the approach.
And respectful men from all walks of life, and you must enjoy being in the company of some quite wonderful people. Then you are corralled into a meeting hall and either take part in or observe ceremonial ritual that is hundreds of years old yet virtually unchanged. It's terrible being forced into all of this just... to learn the secret to Freemasonry. Funny thing, after I went through the whole process and learned the, quote, secret of Freemasonry, it turns out that we are each individually the secret. Strive to be a better person every day. Work towards being a better person every day. Help others to be better in their troubles. Thank God for every breath. It was really a lot to take in. All that goodness, enjoyment, friendship going on around the place. Good men who want to be better men. It was around 15 years ago, still going out once a month for me some friendship. Very nice.
And he said that was the worst thing about it. I'd love to hear what he said was the best thing. Right.
So this person is I don't even have to read this name because I don't think I can even understand it.
We'll call him Salman Rushdie.
There we go. All right. Pros. You get close friends and brothers. You become charitable and benevolent.
Mm-hmm.
You learn a bit of history and symbolism. You start using archaic and Middle English words like lest, albeit, mote, brethren.
Here for two.
You get to ride a goat. Kidding. Food with brothers and drinks. You get to repeat the same history of what Freemasonry is to everyone. You become more understanding and tolerant of others' religious beliefs and political views.
Mm-hmm.
You get to learn to control your ego.
Okay.
Cons. You make jokes about riding goats, which no one understands anymore.
True.
I mean, the goat joke is kind of... I don't know. Is it getting old, Joe?
The goat joke? Why are you asking me? Because I'm old?
Well, now that you mention it.
What's like the history on the goat joke?
So the goat was actually part of the Perfect Craftsman degree.
Okay.
So have you guys taken the Perfect Craftsman
degree?
I have not. You taking it? All right. So the Perfect Craftsman degree it's kind of a trick degree. It's a fun degree, don't get me wrong, but there's certain things that you need to do in the degree which goes against what you were told in other degrees. I don't want to give it away.
Right, right.
But, and if you remember your original obligations, there are certain things you were not supposed to do, and there are certain people that are like, yeah, nah, I ain't doing that shit. In a case, you pass the degree.
Gotcha.
But if you're stupid and you're just following along and taking the degree, you're bound to screw up. And when you screw up and you do these things that you were told in your other obligations not to do, they put a dunce cap on you.
Ah.
Back in the day, it was called field day, where they would take you outside and you had to literally ride a goat to look like an asshole for being stupid. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like, and I know you haven't taken it yet, but the Master Mason degree.
Mm.
Are you a York Wright Mason?
No.
The past master degree. Are you York Wright Mason?
Mm-hmm.
No. All right. So the past master degree. Mm-hmm. You remember there's certain things they told you to pay attention to?
Yes.
And then you didn't pay attention to?
Yes.
And they freaking heckled you?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's more like a fun degree.
It's a fun degree, yes. But
with a lesson.
Back in
fun
the day.
Fun degree with a lesson.
Back in the day, before PETA and all that shit got involved, you had to ride a goat. Well, if you know anything about goats, guess what they don't like to be?
Ridden.
Ridden. And what do they usually do?
Buck you off.
They kick the shit out of you. And you get headbutted and all kinds of shit. But that's where the goat came from that particular perfect craftsman degree.
Okay.
It was during the field day portion of it when you were stupid and you, hey, James Shields, what's going on? That's where it came from. So Ken said, sorry, brother, overslept. Yeah, we could have seen that one coming. Happy birthday, Kenny.
Yeah, happy birthday, Kenny.
Happy 52nd birthday.
Had a party last night that none of us were invited to. And apparently he's a little hungover and feeling it this morning. So God bless him. Good for him.
Get some hair of the dog.
All right. So then the next con. Looking at you in an apron, non-Masons think you're wearing a gigantic envelope.
Yeah, I can see that. It does look like the Gmail logo on your phone.
That's a great degree. John, I'm screwing his name up.
Months.
That's a great degree if done right. Yes, it is. It is a good degree. And I got to witness it by our 4th Masonic District when they were putting it on, and it was fantastic. And let's just say I would have been writing a code.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You have to repeat the same story of what Freemasonry is to everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, kind of went like, oh, well, what is that?
Well, is.
Sometimes.
All right. I want to find one that's got more.
Somebody that doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Some more cons.
That's what I'm looking for. So, okay. So, what are the disadvantages? All right, here we go. So, this is from, I'll let you just come up with a crazy name. Funny.
Tim Conway.
All right. What are the advantages and disadvantages of being a Freemason? I'm just going to skip the advantages. Let's go to
the disadvantages.
Now the disadvantages. We do have closed meetings and certain private rituals and signs whereby one Mason may know the other in the darkness as well as in the light.
Yeah.
Because of this, some people believe that Masons have a dark and sinister history. Actually, nothing could be farther from the truth. But you may be...
Shut up!
Actually, nothing could be farther from the truth. You may be discriminated against because of these beliefs. Certain religious organizations have opposed us because of our secret rituals. Interestingly, members of those religions or religious organizations are often found to be upstanding members of the Masonic fraternity. In reality, you can log into the internet today and see exactly what our secret signs and rituals are. We have no dark and dangerous rituals and seek only betterment of mankind.
Yeah, there is that little bit of a negative light that's still out there amongst certain people, especially extreme religious groups. However, I will point out that our current grandmaster in the state of Connecticut is Reverend N. Brother.
Correcto.
Bruce Belmore, most worshipful grandmaster of the state of Connecticut, ancient free and accepted Masons. So, there. He's only in for 2 more months, so it's not going to help me.
All right. Here's one for you. Let's go with...
Oh, I almost want to use that one.
I know.
But I don't want to...
Put a spin on it.
Well, I don't think anybody would get the spin that I would put on it, because I would go Perry Mason, because Perry Mason played a character called Ironside, because he was in a wheelchair. That wasn't very nice.
Let's go with... What's his name? Top Gun.
We're going to go with Marshall Picklenuts.
All right. Marshall
Picklenuts.
I wasted 12 years of my life on Freemasonry. All the pros are theoretical. The cons are real.
Here we go. This is a good one. Yes. All right.
Buckle up, boys.
Somebody got his feelings
hurt. One, theory. Freemasons do not discuss politics in their lodges. Reality. Several years ago, my wife, who was working at City Hall, was given advancement to a rather important job in city government. However, a certain member of the city council wanted that job for one of her cronies who wasn't qualified. This councilwoman was friends with a lodge brother and his wife, who were looking to advance themselves materially by being sycophants?
Sycophants?
Sycophants, a polite term for an ass kisser, to the councilwoman. At the lodge meeting, this brother came up to me and asked me why my wife was giving councilwoman problems. Another brother warned me that my wife did not and I didn't fall in line. I could be ruining my chances of getting a good job.
Good job with who?
The chances of getting a good job.
Yeah, but...
I mean, whatever. You could always find another job.
Right. Like, we don't control every vocation and job listing that's out there.
Like, and I'm sure that's like frowned upon by people.
Or maybe let's not rule out the fact that maybe your wife was the problem.
Could be that too.
Like maybe she was a problem.
I don't know. I mean,
sounds a little bit entitled to me.
I also
must be a millennial.
I feel like it's a fish.
I like how he said wasted 12 years, too. Like, you voluntarily...
Oh, there's more. There's more.
Oh, no, please, go.
I just want to acknowledge this one, Matt Remington. I don't need to ride a goat to look like an a-hole. It just comes naturally. All right.
Good comment from James Fields there, too. Sounds like this brother joined for the wrong reasons. Personal gain.
Yeah, I agree. All right, theory. To become a Mason, one need only be a man freeborn of good report and well recommended. All right, so I want to clear up the freeborn thing. That's part of the older ritual. Yes. Freeborn really isn't used anymore, but when you're asked, right?
In the South, it could potentially be. Removed from
Hiram still uses it.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah, in Shelton. It was part of the ritual, and it said you had to be a good man of lawful age, freeborn, well recommended, and in good rapport or whatever fuck it was. But freeborn has kind of been dropped, I think. Because there's no...
Because there's no slavery. It goes back to the days where there was slavery and the slave was not allowed to be, or anyone born under slavery was not allowed to become a Freemason. Correct. However, quick little sidebar, go do some research on Prince Hall Freemasonry.
There you go. Matt Remington, freeborn is still used in New York as well.
So it's archaic that it doesn't apply. A lot of people misinterpreted that, even as recently as the mid-80s when we took it out. Somewhere around there is when it was taken out of the Connecticut ritual. Some still interpreted it as an African-American person could not be because their ancestry may go back to slavery, but that's...
Still doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense because they were born free. Right. It's been abolished for, almost a couple hundred years. So,
I was born.
Used in Ohio as well.
Who is that from? Kid Rock.
In Michigan.
See, here's just the thing with the freeborn thing, though. Like, people look at it, and I'm sure there's going to be some freaking Becky out there who's going to be like, oh my God, that's the... You have to understand, though. Like, it's the reason why certain words and certain phrases are kept in our rituals, because we're trying to preserve the original
ritual. The original tradition.
What it was. It's just tradition at this point. It doesn't mean... It doesn't mean anything, so to speak, because
it doesn't.
It's like you said, it's archaic.
Yeah.
So, but we're still trying to preserve that ritual, if you will.
Yeah. Yep. James Field, old school thinking. Sure. Everyone in U.S. is freeborn today. You're right.
Realistically, I'm
that's why it's archaic.
Through the headphones, I can hear them still in there. So, I mean, their rehearsals going very well. Like, as you can tell, they're all laughing and smoking and joking and shit.
Theory. Maybe they're doing the tragedy.
Maybe. I don't know who would fucking...
Does Theory 2 have anything to do with fantasy football leagues? Or no.
Oh,
okay.
I knew that was coming at some point.
Just curious.
theory, to become a Mason, only need one to be, freeborn recommended. All right, so reality. There is a young man in my church community. Oh, there's a young man in my community who was born dual-gendered. Very early in his adulthood, he had, so that's called, was it asexual?
No, asexual is neither. It's a hermaphrodite.
Yeah, but there's an actual term for it. It's
asexual means you just don't.
Intersex? Intersex, that's what it is.
Oh, is that what they call it?
Yeah, okay. It's an actual term for it. He had selective surgery to correct this. He is now physically a male. Now, the young man should have had the sense of not going around telling people this in such a small, bigoted community as the Stephen King nightmare I live in, but he did. He applied to join our lodge while I was a master. I contacted the Grand Lodge to tell him the situation because you never know when some country club pinhead... Wow, this guy sounds bitter as fuck.
Yeah.
Country club pinhead might want to stir up a fuss. I was told to go ahead and treat him like any other candidate for the degrees. Makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
I was fine with this. However, two old cronies were absent the night of the candidate's ballots decided. After the candidate was already accepted... that their wee little bigot feelings were all butthurt. Jesus, wow, this is like, let me tell you.
He doesn't talk like a Mason.
He doesn't at all. And they went over my head to the district deputy. The district deputy climbed up my behind about the candidate and put the app on hold. Okay.
Let me stop you right there.
Once it's done, the ballot has been dropped, it's over.
However, if he's been voted on,
if it's voted on, approved. It's done.
However, any time before, we had this situation come up in my mother lodge last year. At any time before the entered apprentice degree is given, you can yank that application.
Really? District deputies can do that?
Not the district. The lodge has to do it. The lodge can do it by vote.
But what he's saying is the district deputy put it on.
I don't know that the district deputy has the power. The lodge has the power to take another vote. Like, again, in Connecticut, based on our Grand Lodge rules.
Uh-huh. Right?
Because what happened was this guy got voted in, then showed up in a blotter a few weeks later. And we're like, oh, no. And it turned out that the investigation committee maybe could have done a little bit better of a job looking into this guy because he'd been in the paper a few times.
Right.
So after he had been voted on, but before his degree was given, we were able to say, you know what, we've reconsidered. That was a lodge decision. That was not a Grand Lodge.
Grand Lodge can't do that. They can't meddle.
All they can say is you have the power to do this if you decide to do it as a lodge.
Stop me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe the Grand Lodge has the power to meddle in lodge affairs, with the exception of it being financial. Where there's theft or any type of Grand Lodge can't come in and be like, yeah, no, you're not a Mason.
If you're violating a landmark or something of that nature, but it is written in the regs to give the lodge the power to make that decision if they've made a mistake.
He says the Grand Lodge, who had given their blessing to the application, decided that they wanted me to find out the candidate's biological gender. Yes, they really wanted me to do that. I informed the district deputy that to expect me to do so was contrary to human rights, to democracy, and to the fraternity's supposed principles. He goes ahead with me, talks to the candidate, and treats himself to hero status, saying, "My, what a fine young lad this candidate is. Ever seen the underside of a bus?" I don't know what the hell that means.
Is he implying that he's going to run him over with a car or a bus? I don't know.
That doesn't make sense to me. The whole thing doesn't make sense to me.
So I will say this. In regards to that topic, there is not a lot of guidance because it is a relatively new social phenomenon.
Let me be clear here. This isn't transgender.
Right.
This is intersex, which means you are born with you're born with both sex things. In that respect, I mean, you should be allowed to join.
You should.
Because you're born with both parts. I mean, that's not a
and
choice.
And it doesn't say.
That's how.
Nowhere
that's
in the rituals does it say you have to be born a man. You must be a man of lawful age and well recommended. Yep. You know, whether you want to put the freeborn or whatnot in there, that's irrelevant. But it doesn't say identify as a man, born as a man, dressing as a man. It doesn't clarify. So if this person is living their life as a man, then, you know, that should not be the only reason to disqualify
him. Even if he didn't have the surgery, but he's saying he had the surgery. I don't think this is whatever.
No, that sounds like...
I would love to know where this is from.
It's got
to
be in the South.
It's got to be in the South. All right. Some small, close.
Reality.
Does it say where he's from?
No, I haven't got there yet. Reality. Theory. Freemasons work to better their moral and spiritual character. Reality. The guy who was master before me was a pill popper and a thief who stole money from a fund we added to every year by selling Christmas trees. The fund is there for us to supply the children of poverty-stricken families with jackets, boots, clothes, whatever they need. The guy stole from it. Let's be clear. So the fraternity was doing a charity thing. Let's break this down. The lodge was doing a charity thing. Commendable.
Yeah. Yes.
You had a guy who... apparently pop pills and was a thief and stole money. Yeah, you're going to get shitbags in every walk of life. You got shitbag cops. You got shitbag ambulance drivers. You got shitbag
priests.
Right. You got 6 million Masons in the
world.
Yeah,
like, you're
going to
get
perfect.
Bad apples that do stupid shit.
And like you said, that kind of comes down to the investigation committee and proper background checks and stuff like that.
And that's why, you know, Masonry a lot of lodges have a progressive line. Where pretty much if you show up and do your job, you're going to move on to the next higher office the following year. But you can't always do that. Sometimes you got to take a step back and say, no, this person can't be master of the lodge and have a conversation. You got to do like, yes, exactly.
James Devaney writes like stealing from a fantasy football league.
Right. So, you know, again, it sounds you can have one bad apple spoil the bunch, and I get that, but that's where the lodge needs to come together and admit their mistakes, be transparent about it, and take corrective actions. It's that easy.
Right.
So he says, this guy stole from it. Before I was even sworn in as a master, old guys from the lodge demanded I do something. Yeah, that's how it works. I contacted the district deputy who appointed supposedly an auditing committee. These auditors... were from the district deputy's lodge, and he was at the end of his term. Therefore, he wanted the whole thing hushed up, and guess what? It was.
Or maybe there was no evidence, there wasn't enough evidence to pursue.
I mean, you're innocent until proven guilty, unfortunately. Right. I mean, it's even a Masonic lodge. You're innocent until you're proven guilty.
Right.
Right.
And if you're going to bring a formal charge, which I don't know why you go to the district deputy. If you were the master at this point and they wanted you to do something, you bring up a formal charge, you start the Masonic trial, if you will, and then a prosecutor, which is probably...
Usually the senior warden is the prosecutor.
Would that be considered in lodge? So in a Masonic trial, senior warden is the prosecutor for in-lodge conduct.
Correct.
So if I walk up, me and Joe are in lodge, and I just decide to punch him in the face because he's a ginger, and...
Wow.
I'm trying to give an example. Who the fuck is this guy? Oh,
sorry. Current worshipful master.
Current worshipful master, Gary Tuccio. Who's going to come up here, right?
Hey, guys.
You're going to come up here and record it at some point, right?
At some point.
At some point, all right.
Better believe it.
You're on camera right now.
Not quite yet. He's on mic, but not quite camera
he's
yet.
He's on camera. Why are you all close to me and stuff?
I can't see.
Oh, it's a delay. That's why.
That's
why.
Hey.
That's why I'm all close to you. I'm like,
Cloak on or something?
Fucking Harry Potter.
See you later,
Worshipful.
Bye,
Worshipful.
Have fun.
So I believe it was senior warden conducts basically un-Masonic conduct
if
while
it's within
lodge,
the lodge.
Within lodge. So this Christmas tree event would be an event after lodge.
It'd be at while at refreshment, so the junior warden
junior
would
warden
be.
Junior warden would control it. Okay. Yep. So you hire a prosecutor, or not hire, but he'd be the prosecutor, and he would collect the evidence. I don't know why you go to district deputy.
And any brother in the lodge can volunteer to defend the person being charged.
And realistically, even if the district deputy was like, yeah, I'm washing my hands of this shit. It still goes to the junior warden.
It goes to the lodge. It goes to the lodge. And I've had that situation.
So basically, this guy was just a shitty master.
Yeah, sounds like
it. It's their word versus, you know, everybody else.
You know, I've had the unfortunate circumstance of sitting in a Masonic trial in a lodge. And they suck because all they do is divide the lodge. I still feel it was necessary. But it's not a pleasant experience. But Grand Lodge said to us, we're only going to step in if you want us to.
Yep.
If you want to handle it yourself and make that decision, that's your power. We'll only get involved if you ask us to.
So this one is going to boil Alex's blood down.
Oh,
he's been
boy.
Relatively quiet, and I want to see Alex pop off.
I'll keep quiet.
Let's hear it.
I want to see Alex pop off here, because he's pretty mild-mannered like you, Joe. Yeah, except when it comes to chili cook-offs in fantasy football leagues.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. I've been good today. I've been very low-key, relaxed.
So I want to see Alex flip his lid on this one. Freemasonry is esoteric. Reality, it isn't.
Oh, fucking God.
Yes.
Here we go. There is no secret order within the fraternity, nor mysticism, no nothing. Nada, kaput, forget about it.
Wow.
Look somewhere else. I joined Freemasonry looking for a spiritual path. Instead, I found 12 years of the worst behaviors men are capable of, short of rape, murder, and treason.
Oh, my God. Christ. Jesus.
That sounds just like a total outright lie.
That sounds like his ex-wife got a hold of his account and wrote.
Right.
Dude,
what is he talking
this
about?
This is a Borgianus club?
Borgia? Bourgeois
club, composed of self-satisfying middle-class bushwood pinheads. It has nothing to do with spirituality. I'm at the end of my time as master of that lodge, and at the end of my time as a Freemason. 12 years of seeing everything Freemasons are not supposed to do, and B is quite long enough. I'm done. All right.
All right, hey, Alex. Let's go ahead, Alex.
Oh, boy. Where do I even start
go.
With this?
Let's start with I think it's ironic that he used the term kaput.
Right.
And then say there's no esotericism in Freemasonry. Like,
I mean, I don't know about his lodge, but the very first thing we do here, before you even get initiated, is like the most esoteric thing in Freemasonry, the Chamber of Reflection.
Yep.
So that starts it off. Second of all, it's like, dude, this is your path. Like, if you're looking for the spiritual side of it, read a book, dude. Like, it doesn't, it's not rocket science. Crack open a book. Crack open the secret teaching of all ages. Like, read Freemasonry in Ancient Egypt. The craft and its symbols, like Joe, the entire degrees.
Is his face getting red?
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting,
he's getting really angry.
It's like, what are you talking about? Where do you even get that from? Every symbol on everything is esoteric. I don't think he knows what the definition of esoteric is. Like, what was he looking for? Doctor Strange, magic sigils, opening portals?
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
What the fuck?
He's looking for the magic elixir of eternal youth.
Yeah, like, I mean, literally, go read a book on alchemy.
It really sounds like this guy wanted everything
handed
to him.
Right.
And spoon-fed to him and didn't want to put in the work.
And the first thing I was
master
told
or whatever.
Was you get out of Freemasonry what you put into it.
He's getting lambasted in the comments here. I love it.
Like George said, when he joined for history, and so he started the podcast. I joined for the esoteric side, and I started an esoteric club. And guys meet up on the first Sunday of every month and go over all the esoteric stuff.
And I joined for the history side, but then got heavily involved in the esoteric stuff and have done quite a few presentations on, you know, Freemasonry, tarot cards, things like that. So it's there if you want it, man.
Right.
All right. But, so James Fields, he should try a different lodge.
Yeah,
and then
right.
He said, wow, he's the master. And then I said, yeah, he was the master, but he's not the master anymore. And he said, bye. And he said he watched National Treasure and thought he was going to find the secret treasure.
Yeah.
James Devaney says, Bushwood's great Caddyshack reference. And then I joined to make money in fantasy. Oh, this poor bastard with the FFL.
But
I shot himself in the foot with this one.
I wish this guy would have put his lodge name and number in there, because I'm starting to wonder if it's actual, whether or not it's a recognized lodge versus a clandestine lodge.
Right. And you could travel and affiliate with other lodges. Like, if you're not happy at your lodge, maybe, like, travel. Go check out another lodge and see if there's somewhere else that you fit in better.
And every lodge has some type of specialty that they bring to the table, which is one, the benefit of traveling. You get to see these things and bring it back to yours. But you know, if you're going to Quentin Essentia Lodge, you're probably going to hear some esoteric stuff.
Right. I'm actually going there in a week.
If you go to, you know, the Shrine or a body like that, you're probably going to have a hell of a lot of fun.
Right.
But you're not going to hear anything esoteric.
Matt Remington writes, so that Nigerian prince that promised me light and power for sending him $500 was lying? I thought those were secrets and mysteries. And then James Fields says he's got to be clandestine.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah. I never even thought about that. And it could have been a clandestine lodge.
And months, his lodge probably ends with the word international. It very well could. Yeah.
Let me be clear. Like if your lodge starts with International Grand Lodge of Orlando or some shit like that, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
You are a clandy.
The only exception to that recently, I believe the Shrine changed their name to Shrine International instead of that. Ancient Arabic order of the nobles, or the mystic shrine, or whatever the phrase used to be.
Yeah, and that's John Muntz says his lodge probably ends with the word international. Yeah,
If you
have anything that's international or Grand Lodge of any city or whatever,
take a close look.
Get the fuck out.
But it also just sounds like all these people are sitting in shit complaining about the smell instead of getting out.
Also doesn't impose fines on brothers. So if they fine you $500 or some crazy freaking amount.
Yeah, they don't do that.
They don't do that.
No.
There's Grand Lodges, and all the Grand Lodges in the United States are states.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's the Grand Lodge of Connecticut, Grand Lodge of California, Grand Lodge of Texas, Grand Lodge of whatever. It's like these are... That's a Grand Lodge. That means you're an actual bona fide Freemason. If it's his international Masons or whatever, it's horseshit.
And
you'll also never see where a Grand Lodge uses not only Scottish Rite, but it also uses the square and compasses. They are two totally separate things.
Mm-hmm. And if you are in a just and lawfully constituted Lodge of Masons and you went through the proper ritual, you would know that there are only certain penalties that Freemasonry can impose. So if somebody said to me, hey, $50 fine, I'd say, no. It said clearly in my obligation that the only penalties Freemasonry can impose are blah, 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 blah. So take your $50 and shine it up real nice.
Oh, that got my
turn
blood
it sideways. And stick it straight up your clandy ass.
Yeah. I'm going to read this one because I kind of like this one. And it says he was raised to the sublime degree of a Master Mason in 2019. Joe, pick a funny name for him.
Yager.
All right. how did you become a Freemason and how has your life changed because of it? I like this one because this has got some funny shit in here from what I was quickly scrolling through. I became a Mason way earlier than every man does. I asked for a petition. I went through the usual phases of being accepted into the fraternity, and then I was made a Mason. How my life changed. Pros: I'm a bit more respected. I garnered a little bit of respect from my boss at work because her father was a Mason. I also more respected in life by people who know that I am a Mason. The people who respect me more tend to be kind of people I'd like to associate myself with because they tend to be cut of a much better cloth than the standard public. And I also want to just apologize while I'm reading this. I am like super freaking congested, so I'm like mouth breathing into the fucking mic. I'm sorry about that.
What do you call George with a runny nose?
What do you call him, Papa George?
Full.
You're an asshole. I'm happier. I'm generally happier person because now I belong to a group that allows the points and points me to charity work and organizations. These are all Masonic, of course, but we are making more of an actual impact than that $5 you gave to PETA last month. We are also not killing animals. I have subjects to talk to brothers about, my friends. I'm just going to skip past a couple of these. I have tools to make myself into a smooth stone. Oh, that's a Masonic reference.
Yeah.
I have experiences that cannot be obtained by simply looking up the knowledge.
That is true.
I have friends and connections. Jokes. And he writes, oh, my. Grand architect of the universe. The grand architect of the universe. The jokes are hilarious. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get to the cons. You ready, guys?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to need a drink for this one. Here we go. Green beans. That G in the square and compass, it does not stand for God, goats, or geometry, no matter what anyone tells you.
Green beans.
You be a Mason or not. It stands for green beans. It also stands for chicken and pancakes.
That's good.
That's fucking awesome. Old guys. Look, I love the old guys in my lodge. There are my they are my family and all. But good Lord, man, I do not need to hear about how it was done in your year. I don't need to hear about how Gen X, Y, Q, W, E, R, J, O, I, G, H, J is going to be the death of our craft and how terrible they are. I get it. All of you are all of you invented or remember the invention of the wheel and fire. But stop trashing on guys my age. Seriously. Now, every time I go to a meeting of any kind, this is what I have to put up with. How many Masons does it take to change in a light bulb? How many Masons does it take to change a light bulb? It's a secret. So let's talk about that. The old guys in the lodge.
That sounds like a lodge-specific issue as well. Like, traveling a little bit could definitely solve that.
I also think it's an experience issue.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not going to say I've caught myself doing it, but I've caught myself doing it. Where am I?
Wow, back in my day.
You know, I've said it before. I'm not going to say, that's not how we used to do it. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, now I feel like an idiot.
And, like, you take it with a grain of salt.
But there are some people who have that, like, you know, they're older. They've got that personality that, you know, that should be done this way and no innovation should be made. When they say no innovations, they mean literally no innovations.
Right.
Right.
So I can understand that. I get it.
But let me just, you know, defend some older guys. I know you were going to take the shot at me that I'm the older guy. But there are...
When God said, let there be light, Joe handed him the match. I was there.
But there are older guys out there, and I'm going to speak of one particularly near and dear to my heart, the district deputy of 3A currently, Peter Keefe. Right, Worshipful Brother Peter Keefe, who is like, there's no other way to describe him than he is just a lovely man. He is nice to be around. Yep. He is not condescending. You will never hear him say, you know, in my year, he'll tell you some stories, and you'll just sit there and be captivated by these stories. I'm gonna go out and have dinner with him just so I could hear him talk and tell me this history and whatever life experience he's had. He's probably in his mid-80s, so what he's seen in Freemasonry, I can only imagine through his time. So there are those old guys out there that give some a bad rap, but then you have your Peter Keefes of the world who are just some of the most amazing men that you'll ever meet in your life.
And that's a true and upright Mason, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Like, you could bring a horse to water. You can't make it drink. Just because some guys are in the fraternity doesn't mean that they really got the message or live by the teachings.
Yeah, and you could bring a jackass to a podcast, but you can't make him be able to read.
You fuck. It's all right. We can volley back and forth. Waiting. I grow tired of waiting on my degrees to be conferred. All right.
That's a legitimate complaint.
That's a legitimate complaint.
Yeah. In a lot of lodges.
I'm eager to get to the next step when I learn and memorize the information. There's a lot of waiting to do, and I get that you have to follow Blue Book protocol. I guess so. Some right? I guess some jurisdictions probably have a waiting period in between degrees.
It could be. It depends. To me, it's not about the memorization piece. He did say learning and memorizing, so I'm going to cut him some slack there. But it's not like, hey, I got this all memorized. You need to know what the hell you're talking about. Right. So if you're coming back to your proficiency on...
a week later.
You're a fellow craft degree, and you can't tell me what conflagration or inundation means. You're not ready. You're not ready. Learn the ritual. Understand the ritual. Understand how to apply it. Know what's in your obligation, and that takes more than a month.
Right.
Right.
Oh, but actually, plays right into this comment here. Matt Remington, one of my favorite things as a new Mason is to hear how the craft has developed over the years, mostly with regard to what suitable proficiency meant.
Yeah. I'd rather have a guy be 80-85% word for word, but understand what the hell he's talking about.
Right.
Than a guy that's 100% word perfect, but has no clue what he's regurgitating to you.
Uh-huh. I agree.
There's a lot of waiting to do when I get to your phone.
That goes into the esoteric side.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. but seriously, there's a lot that should be different, in my humble opinion, of course, to how we do certain things. There were multiple people on the committee, any of whom could have left a detailed written explanation of their findings if it were allowed in the case of their absence. I get it, though. Rules are rules, and there's a reason we do things this way. I get it. I don't like it, but if that's what it's supposed to be done.
Read that part again about somebody leaving behind a record or whatever they said?
I don't understand that. Well, that could be a jurisdictional thing. They may have a different way of doing it. They may have to actually, like, you break the chair?
Dude, I think it's already broken.
There's a freaking Instagram page, short and broken podcast chair. Yeah. I don't know who the hell is doing it, but it's freaking hilarious. He said there were multiple people on the committee, any of whom could have left a detailed written explanation of their findings if it were allowed in the case of their absence. I get it, though. Rules are rules, and there's a reason we do things this way. I get it. I don't like it. But if that's what is supposed to be done.
I'm just not sure what committee doesn't keep accurate.
Is he trying to say, like, an investigation committee doesn't give their findings to the entire lodge?
But they do. They report on it in open lodge.
Open lodge.
Right.
I mean, they don't have to necessarily give every detail of it.
I think I got what he's saying. I think what he's saying is they had an investigation committee. Let's say there was three people. One guy was absent, and they had to hold.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what I'm gathering.
Oh, okay.
They needed all present.
Okay.
In order to, that we don't do sense. That here. I mean, if you're
no
you're
worst absent, case, if the guy's not going to be there, you that person can send an email to the secretary and say, "Hey, when we're talking about this, please read this into the record." Correct. Done.
Right.
I lost respect from people. I wouldn't associate myself with these people if I didn't have to. One of my coworkers quit because he found out that I'm a Mason and didn't want anything to do with an organization that hires Masons. He quit in front of myself and five of my brothers while we were all drinking coffee one day. Whatever. Another coworker regularly tries to pull as much shit as he possibly can in order to get it under my skin to irritate me. I don't deal with him because I now work a different shift and never see him. Yeah. Okay. I can see that happening.
So the first person's a narcissist.
Yeah.
And the second person is just an asshole.
Right.
Then that sounds like a hostile work environment should have gone to HR.
The crazy thing is people actually believe that we're evil, nefarious, freaking people.
Oh, like they do. But you just don't entertain those things.
Yep.
And they also don't do any actual valid research. Like, go to a lodge and check it out.
Well, yes, they do. They do it in their
They do it on YouTube.
They do it on the basement of their mom's house in a spaghetti stained T-shirt while playing Xbox and going on YouTube.
I was going to say, in between Halo games and Minecraft games.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theories. Oh, here we go. Now it's my turn to flip the fuck out. I'd put this as a pro if there were more than the same five theories floating around. They are hilarious until you hear them 900 times. 1,000% agree on this.
Yeah.
They're hilarious, and then when you hear it, and then you hear it, and you hear it, you're like, all right, now it's just irritating.
Oh, you're a devil worshiper.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Shut the hell up.
Here's a joke from my brothers that read this all the way to the... here's a joke from my brothers that read this all the way to the end. I think he's saying try to read this to the... hold on. What's this?
So there's a lot of spaghetti comments going on.
Oh, because he put the spa and then the two
thing
Getty. Let's see here. Don't forget the spaghetti. He's talking about
the G with the green beans and whatnot.
All right, so here we go. A man has been sentenced to death and his hour is at hand. He stands on the gallows in front of the mostly male crowd in front of his executioner. The executioner asks the man if he has any last words that he'd like to share. The man says, "Yes, I do. I think this is all a vast Masonic conspiracy. I may have killed a man, but I'll be damned if the sheriff and the posse that chased me down weren't all Masons. The judge and the prosecutor were also Masons, and I know for damn sure that the men on the jury were Masons. This is just a conspiracy." The executioner asks him if that's all he'd like to state, and the man replies in the affirmative. The executioner puts the sack over the man's head and places the noose around his neck and says, "Now step off with your left foot." That's a good one. All right.
Good.
That was a good one. I mean, that's all I got pretty much for that I want to do today, but that was a good joke.
I thought he was going to go with the old, I shot the sheriff, but he didn't shoot the deputy thing. That's where I thought that was going.
That was pretty good. That was good.
No, that was a good one.
How about you, George? What are your pros and cons?
My pros. Let's see here. Well, I mean, they pretty much stated all the pros. I mean, you meet brothers. You meet good people. You become good friends with them.
Mens.
No, you become good friends with them. You know, you always have a brother to rely on. You always got a friend to rely on. And if, you know, shit hits the fan, your life's going in the shitter, they're always going to be there. You call them up. Doesn't matter if you haven't talked to them in 10, 15 years. Call them up. Talk to them.
Yep.
Occasionally, I still talk to Worship Brother Ryan Nordstrom. He hasn't been active in a while. But I still call him. Hey, what are you up to? No, we should grab a beer one time, you know? And it's totally cool. Like, it's not like, it's just different.
Yeah.
My cons? I mean, for me, as like somebody who's been like a past master, past all this bullshit, like, you know, I don't see the younger generation taking the reins as a con. I actually enjoy it. I love the fact that, you know, we were just talking about in the other room, I haven't done a degree, period, in 5 years. And I'm coming out of retirement for one time and one time only this Saturday to do a degree. But, you know, it was nice just having, you know, Gary see me because, again, I've been busy. Obviously, I've been doing shit. And I haven't been around and very active. And he was just like, hey, man, it's nice to see you, you know. But it's nice to know that, you know, sometimes you get into a place in masonry, and I don't know if Joe, maybe you could attest to this too, but you get to a place where it's like, it goes from being I want to be here to I have to be here. Because if I'm not here, everything's going to go to hell. And now I'm kind of back to I want to be here, if that makes sense. You kind of get
No, I definitely know what you're saying, because you get to a point where you become so relied upon. So there's that transition of, hey, I'm going to step up in Lodge, and I'm going to help the Lodge. I'm going to help take on certain activities.
Right.
And then once it becomes expected of you and you're overly relied on, you start to resent it a little bit because people are so used to you doing it that it almost impedes the progress of other brothers, because it's like, oh, well, Joe's always going to do this, so we don't have to put any effort in. And then you start to recognize that and resent it. Mm. And then there's that period of, screw it. I'm not doing it. Mm. Somebody else has to step up and do it.
Yep.
And then when you actually see that happen, now you're like, all right, cool. Now I want to be here again. Like, you go through those phases of it.
Right. I just want to, because I'm commenting, and then Joe, you could pick up from here. But James Field, my wife's family, Catholic, they tell her I'm going to hell for being a Freemason on a regular basis. So don't worry, James. If you're heading to hell, I'll be driving the bus. I'll pick you up along the way. She ignores them, but it's still annoying. Yeah, it's annoying as shit, especially when it's done at a fucking funeral. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Matt Remington, what about the con of having to balance Lodge with your home and work life? We have a lesson on that, but how do you guys apply the lesson in practice? Go on, Joe.
Well, let me start with my pros and cons, and then I'll comment on Remington Steele's comment there. So one of the biggest pros, like you said, is the brotherhood, meeting people. You start to think of life, for me, differently. You start to realize what's important, what's not important, and the brotherhood that you feel. You mentioned, you know, being able to not speak to somebody for 5, 10 years or whatever the case may be. Pick up right where you left off. But there's also, you know, and I'm not going to get into all the specifics, and I'm not saying this to from my perspective and how it made me feel, but the brothers whose shoes, if I were to put myself in, how he would feel. There's a brother that lost a family member very recently in our district, and I saw him at a degree the other night, and he was sitting by himself.
Right.
So I went up and sat next to him. I put my arm around him and whispered in his ear, hey, how you doing, brother? And he looked me in the eye and said, I don't know. No. I don't know how I'm doing. I said, well, you know you can get in touch with me. You know how to get in touch with me because you have before. If you need anything, let me know. You know I'm here for you. And he looked at me and said, yeah, I know you are. That's the way that he must have felt at that moment, where he could have been so alone, and probably Lodge was the last place that he wanted to be at that moment. Yeah. But then in that moment, there was probably no better place for him to be, because he's surrounded by brothers who genuinely care about him.
I mean, realistically, it's better than sitting on your ass at home.
Absolutely. But you don't realize that at the time necessarily. You got to get that motivation, that spark to get out. But the relationships that I've been able to build, genuine relationships with people that I call my friends, that I call my family, that's invaluable. The cons, I guess the biggest con for me is when Masons don't live up to the expectations that I have of myself, and I get very disappointed. it's hard not to do, but you've got to somewhat separate that, and it's not a competition. But you do expect brothers to uphold their obligation and their promises, and when they don't, it's really disappointing, and it hits hard. It feels a little bit like betrayal. To Remington Steele's question, what about the kind of having to balance lodge with your home and work life? We have a lesson on that, but how do you guys apply that lesson in practice? You just have to apply it. It's there. Mm. If you're signing up, if you're a member of Blue Lodge, five appendant bodies, taking on Grand Lodge, then you're going to burn yourself out, and your family's going to resent it. You cannot Mason 7 nights a week. You can't.
Nope.
And not long term. It's not sustainable either. You're going to get burnt out, your family's going to get burnt out, or you're just not going to like it anymore.
Take it from somebody who knows.
The roadmap is there. Just follow the rule. And any Mason that's been through the EA degree knows the working tools, and it's right there. Divide your time equally, and you got to figure that out.
DC is chilling. Love the podcast. Y'all was listening while I was waiting to be raised during the pandemic. Now a senior steward in Lodge. Appreciate the perspective. We try, man. We're just a bunch of three idiots up here.
Well,
we had to change an idiot. We changed a robot for a freaking
We have interchangeable idiots.
So Alex, go. Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, so if Steve Saxon is Shemp and Paisani was Curly Joe, who is Alex, is he even on the list? How far down the stooge list are we? Dude. I don't even know if they go beyond that.
My first time on
it. I know.
Alex, I like bringing on Alex from time to time because he's got that esoteric perspective.
And he's the young guy.
He's a young guy, yeah. How old are you? 12, 13?
Kind of. I think you're a little dyslexic. I'm 31.
Are you really?
Yeah, I think you just
I would have never guessed that.
I would have still had you in your mid-20s, buddy.
Nice. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome, man.
I like it.
Yeah, go harder. Hello. Hey, what's going on, man? James Fields, I'll get to your question in a minute. But Alex, your turn. How do you
pros and cons?
Pros and cons.
I mean, the pros, like I said, I love the symbolism, the esoteric side of it. I'm an only child, so getting to hang out with other like
I would have
brothers
quit when I had you
stuff,
too.
You know, right? Seriously. So like that side of it's nice, you know, like especially the guys at Harmony, a lot of them are my age.
I just want to say the minute you came out, if you were my kid, I'd be like, you need to throw that one back. There's something wrong with it. We're ending it
Thanks,
right
buddy.
Here. Can I get a vasectomy for
oh,
two for
God,
one?
Oh, God, Jesus.
Sorry, go ahead.
And, so being able to hang out with people and, you know, the fellowship, scotch and cigar nights, all that kind of stuff. That's what I like about it.
What's your cons?
The cons? I mean, I could see how, like, the not dividing your time properly could be a con, especially since I am a Shriner. I'm Scottish, right?
You're a Shriner now?
I'm on Masonic Lodge of Research.
Saxon's been recruiting everybody.
Clearly. Guy's working.
I'm in the line in two lodges. I'm Senior Stewart here and Junior Stewart in Waterbury. Junior Stewart in Waterbury, that's not so much of a con, but they use glass dishes. So, like, for the Washington dinner,
you had to actually
cleaning
like,
200 glass dishes and all the cutlery and everything, you know. But that's not really a con. I mean, like, people come back and help you out, too, and you're still hanging out, having discussion and cracking jokes with each other. So it's not too bad.
So rather joke that joke in Harmony Lodge, what do you do when the dishwasher breaks? Smack him. That's Alex.
Yeah.
All right. What do you guys say? I'm going to just.
You wanted to read James Fields, I think, before we wrap up.
Yeah. DC's chilling. By the way, first time I got to do the toast in real life, I was definitely like, yeah. Our toast is a little different. Don't follow ours.
IRL. I thought he was talking about like some kind of Irish thing at first.
No, in real life.
I know. I know the kids.
I know.
These
you're old.
I know.
You're old.
Hey.
Yeah, and don't do our toast because it's not the right one.
No, that's not.
We have
well,
a modified podcast version. So there's been a couple times where we're at Lodge upstairs.
Yeah.
Whoopsie. Yeah, good luck, man.
Let's see here. James Fields, this podcast is really great. We need to get more brothers involved. How do we get you to come to Delaware for a remote podcast? So
Nielsen travel expenses.
We have some.
Pay for the rental car, pay for separate hotel rooms, and feed us.
So that's one thing I would like to do, actually, but not, because we have brothers in Delaware, the Schultz brothers, who've been asking us to come down for a while. But when the whole pandemic bullshit broke out, I think our mobility come to a screeching halt. We also have to get up to see the Paladins, too. They want us to do that thing up there. We've been promising that for a while, but again, with my work schedule and the academy and everything, I didn't really have days off, and I couldn't do a whole freaking weekend ripper with the freaking biker, so I think that would probably have been a bad thing. But anyway, what do you think? Think we're good with this one?
I think we're good with this one. This was a fun one.
Yeah, this was fun.
We even got Alex all fired up.
I did.
I know. Oh, dude, my blood pressure.
You know what I'm going to do now, though? I'm going to start researching topics that'll piss him off.
Oh, yeah. We can certainly do
that. I'm usually the one who snaps, so when I'm able to get somebody else who snaps, like Joe.
Yeah, you've done that to me on more than one occasion. More than one occasion you got me doing that, but whatever.
Just part of the fun.
That one just blew my mind. Like, what do you mean there's no esoteric?
I love when Joe snaps. I'm sorry. The FFL one was a good one. Like,
When I get hot. It takes a lot for me to snap, but when I do, it's bad. Like, and that was nothing compared to, like, I used to be a very angry young man. Now I'm a slightly pissed off old man.
I love when people get out of their freaking comfort zone. I love it. All right, brothers, what do you say?
Let's wrap it up.
For the Freemasons podcast, I'm Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry signing off.
Worshipful Brother Joe signing off.
Brother Alex signing off.
Have a good night, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.